We've got a wonderful resource here in town on the Oregon campus, the Jordan Schnitzer Museum of Art. They've got a current exhibit called Scrimmage, Football in American Art Form from the Civil War to the Present. She is the curator. It is my pleasure to welcome in Danielle Knapp. Danielle, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm doing great.
So first, a little personal background as somebody who was born on the other side of the country. I'm always curious, where do you hail from and how did you wind up in this gig at the University of Oregon?
Oh, gosh, I love this question. I'm actually an Air Force brat, so I grew up all over. And I ended up choosing the Northwest as my home, having come from the Spokane, Washington area 9 years ago, actually to go to a master's program at the University of Oregon. And then I basically refused to leave. I love it here. I love the university, and I've worked at the Jordan Schnitzer Museum of Art as staff for the last 6 years now.
So do you remember who or what or why, that what got you passionate about the arts?
Oh, gosh, a number of things. My dad, although he was a KC-135 pilot, he was also a military historian. So
nice.
I grew up in a history household, and my mom's father was an artist, and she took me to museums. So I grew up in a very art-centric, creative household. And I think those things just fed together into really being interested in visual culture and especially how American history has been depicted in images. So working on this exhibition was a natural fit for my interest.
I was reading one of the original releases from over the summer, and it's important to understand this is not a history of American football, but if I'm correct, more about how football connects to our culture.
Yeah, it's actually, it draws from all of those sort of different approaches to the way that we wanted to think about the images that have depicted football. It's a project that we co-curated with Lenny Frickman, the director of Colorado State University's Art Museum. She approached the University of Oregon a few years ago with the idea for this exhibition, looking for a partner. We thought with both of our communities, Fort Collins and Eugene, there are so many conversations about how football fits into the larger culture on campus, off campus. People are paying attention to football, love it or hate it. People have opinions on the sport. And so she and I were interested in saying, well, what have artists said about this over time? So we quickly found out that there is no simple genre of football art. People might think of Americana or sports memorabilia when they hear that, but major American artists have been depicting the sport for the last 150 years since its beginnings. And so as Lenny and I pulled together a checklist for the exhibition, we got really excited because we thought in these images you can see the way that people, not just playing the sport, but how public perception of the sport was shaped and what's fan culture, sort of the public culture surrounding football. It's all documented in the fine art.
Now, as somebody who goes back to the late 60s and 70s, I was a big sports card collector. I was taken by Mark Newport's beaded football cards,
yes.
The Andy Warhol painting of O.J. Simpson, before we knew who O.J. really was.
Yes.
Now, your job is, you know, to present the exhibit you hope will captivate people, but as a patron and a professional in this field, you've got to have some preferences of the work you put on display, which kind of hit you personally?
It's actually funny that you would mention those two in particular, because I've had a lot of fun talking to very diverse audiences on different tours while the show's been open. And it'll be open until the end of December, so we have several more months to go now that the school year will be starting and more classes will be coming through. But with Mark Newport's work especially, I think it's this collection of sports cards, football cards, players' cards that he had personally collected, and over time he added beadery and decorated them, and it's actually a funny piece. It's humorous in that it poses these questions about if you take something that's traditionally maybe thought of as so masculine as the sport of football, and you do something that's traditionally thought of as a more feminine craft of beadwork or needlepoint on the card. He likes that sort of tension he creates.
Sure.
But it's also funny because he's playing with the idea of collectability. People who are interested in football player cards, who truly are interested in collecting them, they're not going to want a piece that an artist has come along and ruined by attaching beads. And so it's, you know, if he's decorating it in a way where now it's exhibited in a museum, some audiences might think he's elevated the artwork. Others might think he's destroyed the artwork. We've had a lot of fun talking to audiences about those pieces, as well as just seeing how people go to the cards to look for players they might recognize, since they are cards from over several last several decades. So a lot of major names on the card, Jerry Rice and others.
We're talking with Danielle Knapp, curator of this terrific exhibit at the Schnitz on the U of O campus. I'm always fascinated by an idea that becomes a reality. You have artists who worked in the 18th century to active artists. Could you kind of, to the novice, explain the process of how you determine which works of art get put on a display like this?
Sure. Well, with any project, you're limited a little bit by your budget and the logistics of bringing work to one physical place. And we knew that for this show, we would ideally be able to bring works from all across the country that had never been shown in one venue together before. And so my co-curator from Colorado State University and I started with our wish list and started compiling a list of over 80 objects by artists like Frederick Remington and Winslow Homer, who created the earliest works in the show from the mid-1800s, to Wayne Thiebaud and Robert Rauschenberg, artists that people might not necessarily think of football when they hear their names, but if they see their works on view in our show in the future, they will. And we just started going down the list and seeing what museums have available, and also talking to experts who have been spending a lot more time studying this field than we have. Michael Oriard, who's a dean emeritus from Oregon State University, has published several books on the culture of football. He's a former football player, pro player himself, and so he's been, he was a great advisor in the early part of the project of reaching out and saying, do images that depict this certain aspect, do they exist? Where are they held? Because in some cases, some of the really great works of art might not have ended up in a museum collection. They may be in a university's archives or in a library's archives, or in one case, in an alumni group at Ohio State University. So it was like a great treasure hunt, and then reaching out to all these individuals, explaining our project and saying, are you willing to be a part of this? Can we borrow your work for a period of several years? Because the show is traveling after us to two more museums. So it's really a commitment on the part of the lenders to buy in and say, yes, I want my work to be part of this experience.
One aspect I found interesting, whether it's a name like Leroy Neiman or James Fiorentino, certain artists primarily are known for work centered on the world of sports. But isn't one of the great characteristics of this exhibit that artists who mostly work outside that area were inspired by the game of football?
Yes, and many of the artists played football, so they would have come from it from a point of personal understanding of the sport. Matthew Barney played football in high school. Wayne Thiebaud played football until he hurt his back, and then while he was recovering from a broken back, he had to find something else to do, so he began creating art.
Whoa.
There's several others. Frederick Remington played for Yale, and there are stories that he, on the way to a game, would kind of stop by the slaughterhouse to put some blood on his uniform to show up at the game looking, as he would say, more businesslike, so that it looked like he had just come from a successful fight somewhere. And so we definitely were interested in saying, who are these artists whose work we think we know, but we've never looked at through the lens of, well, what did they have to say about this unique American phenomenon of football? But there are some artists in the show who did make their living off of and are known as artists who worked within the realm of sports imagery. And Ernie Barnes, whose fabulous work is the sort of the entry point to the show as people arrive at the exhibition, we start with his piece. He played football for 5 years but then made a living painting for the NFL after that.
Interesting. Now, beyond the exhibit at the Schnitzer Museum is a book. It includes essays, some great pictures, information about the artists. This is really an amazing compliment to the exhibit, isn't it?
Well, we appreciate you saying that. It was very important to us to have a record of the exhibition and a record of the research that went into it, because having an exhibition catalog allowed us to acknowledge the fact that some works we tried to track down visual imagery that we hoped to add to the exhibition to expand the story. We just couldn't find. And one example is there's a great essay in the catalog that's about African-American players in football and sort of the history, how the development of football reflected things that were happening within the country. And the title is Black Pioneers, Transformations of the Color Line Across. One challenge we had with the exhibition was finding early works that depicted players of different backgrounds, because so much of the existing visual record came out of upper class Ivy League colleges that had a certain racial or socioeconomic background represented there. So we really wanted to have a catalog to say there's more to the story. There's more of this history, and these are the questions we should continue to pose if we're interested in looking at football through the eyes of artists.
Final thought, Danielle Knapp, curator of Scrimmage, Football and American Art from the Civil War to the Present. Obviously, I could ask you a million questions, but what we would call in radio a reset for folks who are interested. So how long has this been running? You mentioned it's got other stops to make. Where can people check it out? And, the key info for folks who now have their antennas up a little bit.
Yes, we hope people who will come who are interested in football or not interested in football and just want to see what an art museum has to say about the sport. We'll come and see it here at the JSMA before it closes on December 31st. We have free admission on home game weekends, free First Friday admission. There are lots of opportunities to come to the museum. We have a number of public programs listed on our website, bringing in guest speakers to talk about the use of Native American names and images as mascots, the role of gender in sport. We're screening a documentary called In Football We Trust about the Polynesian Pipeline. So we really want to be a site for this conversation, and we really want our audience to come and join us for that.
The website, jsma.uoregon.edu. Support the arts in our community. We're really lucky to have this kind of quality resource. Danielle Knapp, great to get a chance to speak with you. Please keep us in mind to spread the word about future exhibits and events. And thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much. Go Ducks.